Coming live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a dad who gives bad pep talks 5 days a week. I am Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast for episode number 4 of Survivor Ghost Island. We have a fantastic show for you today. I'm very excited because we've done such a roll with having guests here in the studio. We are very lucky to have the great Allie Elliott from season 35, Heroes versus Healers versus Hustler. A true hustler is here.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. I'm very excited to have you here.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here.
Yes, you were on my list of people from last season that I definitely wanted to get a hold of. And okay. I thought you were going to say, I'll pass. And I was so happy when you said that you would come in here.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't pass it up. I love Survivor and I, you know, obviously got short on the stick on my season, but
yes,
I can always talk about it.
You know, that it's interesting because I went back and I wanted to get ready to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And I listened to the interviews you did with Josh from the preseason. And, you know, that was something that I think had gotten lost on me that you talked about a lot then, that you were a big fan of the show.
Mm-hmm.
You have a whole side of your family that's obsessed with the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think I had learned it and I had forgotten it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a diehard, so I don't know every season and every single person, and I can't name, you know, random facts to you, but I definitely love the show and I was always a fan and I had participated in, you know, we did pools with Survivor before.
Yes.
And so it had always been, you know, a real dream for me. And so even being out there, it was kind of hard trying to play the game and also live the dream at the same time.
So is it fun for you to go back to being somebody who is just watching the show this season after being through the experience?
The funny thing is, and it's even funny for me because I realize that I am such a competitive person that even watching it still, like, I get aches in my stomach. Like, I'm still so, I wouldn't say upset about it. I mean, obviously it's over. You can't do anything about it. It's done. But I just, you know, I love the show so much. And I think that I'm just kind of sour in the fact that it didn't go exactly the way that I wanted.
Mm-hmm. You went out there and then ultimately you didn't have the experience that you created. Does that leave you thirsty for more?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I guess it would, you know, I'm like, there's so many things that, and obviously now, you know, in the season now, it's only at the pre-jury, which is where I was. But once it gets obviously to the merge and places that I didn't get to, you know, I didn't even get to compete in an individual competition or individual challenge. And so, you know, to see that and know that I had to miss out on some stuff just because, you know, my own game, it sucks and it hurts because I wanted, you know, obviously everybody wants to go all the whole way.
Yeah. And, you know, something else that I think I either learned and forgot or maybe didn't know in the first place was that you were a college athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you potentially could have snuck up on people in these challenges, that you had a soccer scholarship to go to school.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just said that I totally out of my mind.
Yeah. And I think that's also behind it. Like, I've been this, you know, competitor my whole entire life. I've played soccer since the age of 3. And so, you know, I've always been, you know, the person that wanted to win. And so even though I understand that there's other things that come from winning, I still love to win. And so because I didn't even get that chance to really get that fighting chance to show people that I could do it. And, you know, I was here to fight and to, you know, make a, you know, really show myself in the individual challenges.
Okay. So I'm very excited to talk about this episode of Ghost Island. You're enjoying Ghost Island?
I am. I think that at first I was like, I wasn't sure about it, but the more I can kind of understand it, because I was really confused with what the concept was. Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Yes. Would you have liked to have played on a season with Ghost Island?
Would I have liked to have played? I think so. I think that the twist is fun. I think it makes you, you know, you think about the game in so many more steps than you normally would. So I would love to have played in this season.
Okay. So we have a lot of stuff to get to. Let me quickly, at the top of the show, before we get into the Ghost Island stuff, let me thank one of our sponsors today. And those are friends over at Microsoft, Microsoft Teams. Now, Allie, you know all about Teams, being on Survivor, being on soccer teams. Microsoft Teams allows people to communicate in a digital workspace where teams can create, collaborate, and communicate authentically, just like they would in the real world. Microsoft Teams is your hub for teamwork in Office 365 with so much to look after. Wouldn't it be great if you could just go in all of one place to look for everything to communicate with your team? wouldn't have to have like little meetings and this person messaged me on this social network, this person emailed me. Forget that. Teams is the single workspace where you can work, share, and connect with people in your work life. Teams brings people together for chats, meetings, files, apps, all in one place. Take teamwork where you work with apps for mobile and for desktop. Whether you're sprinting towards the deadline or sharing your next big idea, Teams can help you and your team achieve even more. If you really want to be hustling, jump on Microsoft Teams in Office 365. Visit office.com/teams for more. Okay. Talk to me about this tribal council last night where ultimately there was this whole plan that came together. Mm-hmm. I really thought it was going to work.
I mean, it was smart.
I was blindsided by the outcome. The edit really tricked me.
Yeah.
I think they're getting very sneaky with the edit, or I'm very gullible.
Yeah.
But they really tricked me. I thought Bradley was 100% going home, and he stayed.
Yeah.
And it was Brendan who ended up going home. So talk to me about the approach that you thought this group of four had going into this tribal council.
I thought it was brilliant because, I mean, even being out there on my own, when I was the underdog, I had thought of something kind of in that kind of sort where just throw it out there. I'm going to vote for somebody. You guys can either vote with me or, you know, risk somebody, one of you going home. And it was a good shot. I mean, I thought it was smart. And I mean, especially for Michael being so young, to have this strategy to come out there and, you know, even to say that it was two idols. You know, if he would have said it was two idols, I probably would have been the person that would have flipped and said, I'm voting with you guys just to make sure that my butt's safe. But I enjoyed it. And so you thought that one of them were going to flip. That's what you thought. That's why.
Yeah, I thought Sebastian, when they showed Sebastian and he cast his vote and we didn't get to see it.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't even know what happened. And then I said, oh, OK. Oh, he must have flipped. And that's why they didn't show us his vote. And then it didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wish it would have, because it would have just been such a great play and it would have, you know, really got them. And I'm more interested as why he chose Stephanie. I thought that they were going to pick at least one of the guys.
Yeah. Well, I think that based on my conversation and I spoke to Brendan on the exit interview this morning, I think that part of the plan for those five Navidi people was, I think that they were trying to make them think that it was going to be Stephanie.
Yeah.
And I think that Michael ended up buying into that deceit where Brendan said to me, and again, Stephen Fishback will tell you that, you know, exit interview, you can't always believe what people say on the exit interview. But Brendan had said that he got the feeling that it was going to be him at that tribal council. Mm-hmm. He said he equated it to sort of like being on the train tracks and knowing the train was coming and not being able to get off. And he said he felt like he started to feel like it was him. But ultimately, Michael ended up making the decision to try to save Stephanie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and if only you'd picked right, you know, if only you'd picked the right, I mean, it would have been a completely different game, but it was a nice try.
It was a amazing try. Now, what do you think about the approach in terms of, hey, we are all going to vote for Bradley tonight. Mm-hmm. Come with us. Let me tell you what we want to do. Everybody should vote for Bradley. Did you have any thoughts about whether or not you would have advocated for people to is it a good idea to throw out a name or is it more of a better idea to try to keep everybody afraid that it might be them if they don't switch?
Yeah, I think because even in my scenario, I thought, you know, hundreds of things in my head. What could I possibly say? And I would have said, you know, we're going to vote one of you. All four of us are voting the same person. You just don't know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it's tricky because as Stephen pointed out to me last night, because, you know, we watched the episode and then, you know, come on and talk about it. And it's like, you know, it's hard enough when you're out there, let alone, you know, trying to absorb it all and then, you know, follow what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge there is that if you don't give them a specific name, then they're like, well, what name? I want to switch. Yeah. What name do I write down?
Yeah.
And then how do you tell them without necessarily, what if they're tricking you?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, maybe you go into it before you even get to tribal and say, we're writing one of you guys down.
They didn't do that. They wanted to get the jump on them.
Yeah.
I think that you're right. I think that the move is, you know, there's so much talk about, oh, live tribal. Who knows?
It doesn't have to be.
People are going to change their mind at tribal council. But I do think that's still very much the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
I think that people go into tribal council
with a thought and then act on that plan as opposed to changing things at tribal council.
I think that it's rare that people change at tribal. It's very, very rare. And that's why, you know, I would have brought it up at camp and said, you know, this is what we have. This is what we're doing. That way you can pull people aside and have these private conversations. That way they can start to think, because in the last minute, you're going to go with your gut. Those people were scared, but they still voted with what they had agreed on before they got there.
Mm-hmm. How often would you say that you think people change their mind on what they're going to do at tribal council?
How often? I would say, I don't know, 5%.
I think that's probably about right. And I do think that one of the interesting things about now, we have this era where people are getting up out of their chair and talking to each other. And I think that when it does happen, I think that's when you're going to see it. Because if I just get up and change my vote, unless I'm like the swing vote, then... You know, how do I know what other people are doing in terms of switching there? Like maybe I decide to play the idol spur in the moment. And when David Wright talked about live tribals, I think that, you know, that was a tribal council where he was going to then play his idol. But I think in terms of changing your vote, it's just like if you just I'm deciding I'm changing my vote. What good does it do if you don't, you know, talk to the other people that you're voting with?
Unless that decision is just, like you said, the swing vote. That's unless you know that you can actually decipher the ending vote, there's no point in changing that decision.
Yeah. So in terms of this group, that if there's ever, you know, a similar situation for people, sort of just the lessons to take away from this is, one, the idols that James had in China are all cursed. So don't even bother with them. They don't work. They'll never help anybody.
Never again.
So that's one. But then two is that we want to target the person that we think is going to be likely to swap.
Yep.
And then talk to them ahead of time. And then say like somebody like a Sebastian who they seem like they had some inroads in.
Yeah.
What do you say to him?
I mean, you would obviously go to him before tribal. So you would go up to him and say, you know, they thought him and Chelsea were on the outs. You know, we have this idol. It can be used for two people or whether one or two, either way. And we're going to use it to save two of us. And you have no idea who that is. But we want you guys to vote with us. And we will you can even tell them, you know, hey, which person do you think you can't trust moving forward? And let them think that they still have the play to pick of their own alliance who they should get
right
rid of.
So give us a name. Okay, look, we have this thing. We can protect half the people. We can protect two people with this idol from Survivor China. And now, so it's a 50-50 shot. And we love you, Sebastian, but we hate to do this. We think you think you might flip. We're going to put our votes on you. So you guys can do what you want. But if you come with us, then we're going to play it. We're going to play our idol.
Yep.
And then half us will be safe. But you can guarantee you'll be here.
Yeah.
If you end up, you know, casting your vote with us.
Yeah. And you get to pick which of these other people. Because at that point, if it was Bradley or Kellen or Des, you wouldn't care as long as you get to, you know, convince somebody to come over with you.
Now, let me ask you, this is a little bit of getting even more underhanded.
Okay.
Do you do that with two people? Do you go then separately to another person and have that conversation? Or is it more of a risk that it's going to blow up if they say, hypothetically, they go to Chelsea and they have that same conversation with her?
I think that you would start with Sebastian. He seems kind of like that more giddy. He's kind of more free-spirited, free-minded, that he would make the decision. And I think you have to read the conversation. If he looks like he's not budging, then you go to that second person. But if you think that, you know, he's in it and he understands and he's actually scared for his own game, then, you know, you think you move forward with him.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that this is a good plan.
I like
this. And then, you know, you still have, you know, some redundancy in terms of like, okay, and then if that doesn't work, then you also have, you know, your shot in the dark with the idol.
And you
have
exactly.
that. But I have to say, I was very impressed with Michael at that tribal council.
Me too. I mean, his confidence, you know, the way that he approached it, everything just down to making the wrong decision in the end. But how would you know?
What's that like coming in as somebody who has seen a lot of the show, you know, that's been on for most of your life? You come in and then you're at that tribal council and, you know, you're in the moment where now you're being asked to speak up at a tribal council. Just in terms of like the moment, is it larger than life? Is it surreal?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's it's larger than life if you know the answer. I mean, Jeff, he's, you know, is a scary host at times. And if you're in a, you know, like when Rourke was voted out, if you're in that situation where it's very heated and, you know, things are going back and forth, it's fun, though, for me to speak my opinion. It's fun to, you know, be in the game and be a part of the game. So there was times where I think every single tribal, I had chills. I was shaking. My adrenaline was running, you know. But it's definitely, I mean, like I've said 1,000 times, you know, it's a dream. And so just to be there, it's fun. But my competitive side is trying to tell me, you know, this is also a game. And everything you say, you have to understand that people are reading into it.
Talk to me about it from the other side, from the Naviti side, where they had 5 people. Did you like the way that they handled their business?
No, not at all. I did not think it made sense. You mean the last?
Well, no, I'm talking about that in the episode that was on last night, the 5 people that voted together.
Oh,
in terms of, yeah, well, we'll talk about the previous tribal council as well. But
do I like? Yeah, I mean, I think that it's smart when you have the numbers. It's too early to try to make a move. And so when you have the numbers, it's just easy. Nope. You know, you've got to get through the first. Pretty much you got to get through to the merge. And so you want to make the easiest decisions. I've always said that you have to make the easiest decisions you have to until you have to start playing the game, until you have to show this is what I've done and this is why I deserve to win. But right now it's smart. Stick with your numbers and, you know, just try and take the easy way.
Do you feel like that they should have tried harder to bring in anybody from the Malolo group and tried to get them to turn on the people that they were with to make it even more of a sure thing?
I think only in regards to
build their numbers.
I think only in regards to furthering the game. I think that obviously people are making connections that we don't see, but because you never know what the next step is. I feel like there's going to be another swap coming up and somebody can get screwed. So I think just in regards to that, you should always be trying to pull in numbers because someone feels like they're out. And that way you can get somebody to flip and hope that you happen to be with that person next and say, we saved you. Now you can help me.
Talk to me about Bradley, that he has been very much a part of the focus, last night, even into last week. Are you enjoying him as a character on the show?
He's definitely a character. So he's definitely, yeah, I guess I would say enjoying it because he's, you know, a different personality to watch.
I don't want him to go anywhere.
You don't?
No. This is a good, hateable survivor character.
I think so too.
With all due respect, maybe that he is the kind of guy that you can see a lot of people sitting there and saying like, oh, man, I hate this guy. Yeah. And that's fun to have.
Well, and I think that he can almost be relatable in a sense. We all have that complaining kind of side. We all have that. And I think that he just says it. And so I think a lot of people are thinking it, but just he happens to say it. And in that environment, you've just got to be careful. You don't realize that everybody's watching and listening to every single thing, and it can get to be a bit much on some people.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going over the line with personal attack or anything like
yet.
That. Saying Brendan has, you know, gives bad dad pep talks. He has to babysit these people.
Yeah.
But he's a great, hateable character.
I think so, too.
And
he's fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good to have. Mm-hmm. That's an important part of the mix.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree.
Looking forward to more. So that's the upside. I'm sad to lose Brendan. He seemed like he was going to be a great guy, but I'm very intrigued now about, you know, a run here for Bradley. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely really, really smart, but he kind of comes off, you know,
he's like the bad guy in a high school movie.
Exactly. That's exactly what he is. You know, he just, you know, kind of wants to pick on you without really picking on you, you know? And so, I enjoy it, though. I think I don't really realize that I'm enjoying him. You know?
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. He's popping. So that's good. And he didn't get a lot of airtime in the premiere. So now he's starting to come into his own art.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's talk about what's going on at that other camp, because there's a lot of interesting stuff that came out of last week. Uh-huh. I know you're dying to talk about this.
Yeah.
So they didn't end up going to, do you want to go back to last week and talk about that trial?
I just don't understand. I did not understand.
Which part?
I didn't understand why Morgan. Why? And then you're just going to flip back with these people anyway. So what made sense to me was just
why did the former Malolo people vote for Morgan?
why did the former Malolo? Yeah, it just didn't make sense to me. Yeah.
Who would you have voted for?
I would have voted out Angela.
Yeah.
Because you already said that you like Dominic. Mm-hmm. You already said that you like Wendell. So why not keep Morgan as well? And then say they did stay this tribe for a while. Mm-hmm. You vote out Chris when he comes back because, you know, he's the next easy vote. And then it's 4-3.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I don't know.
let's get into this because this is fun. So now I hear what you're saying because mm-hmm. you're saying that. OK, so we see Laurel and Donathan in this episode say, oh, you know what? We like Wendell. We like Dominic. Let's work with those guys. Yeah, we didn't really even like Chris. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
But now what you've kind of done by taking out Morgan is that you've freed up Dominic and Wendell where maybe they're more open to coming along because they have one less option by getting rid of Morgan.
Mm, yeah, true.
I don't know if they were thinking that far ahead. It seemed like that the plan was, okay, let's get rid of Morgan and then we need these guys for strength. And then it turned out, okay, I mean, do you think maybe when Chris came back from Ghost Island and they started talking to him, it's like, oh my God, we don't even like this guy.
Yeah. Well, I honestly don't know what they were thinking. I think that they, a move approached itself and they just took it. They just wanted to make a move, and voting out Morgan was a bigger deal than voting out Angela. And either way, it would have been a move, but they only saw it as being a bigger move. And so, I mean, obviously it looks like it's working itself out, but in that moment I was like, what the heck are they doing? But, you know, it seems that they've mended and Wendell and Dominic don't really have anyone else to go to. So they've got to hop back on board.
Yeah, boy. You know, this Dominic is one lucky break after he finds an idol
in the middle of the night.
Yeah, he finds an idol in the middle of the night. That's not luck. That's hard work. But
and
then he gets the legacy advantage from Morgan. Yep. And now that we have really those guys didn't do anything other than they were just, I guess, not a-holes. And Laurel and Donathan say that, you know what? We're going to save you guys.
Yeah. I mean, he's just in a really good spot. He did work hard at the beginning, but now he's got lucky that I guess they just happen to have better personalities than Chris. And
well, so which I guess is a low bar.
Gosh, that guy, man.
What do you think of Chris?
Oh, what can you think of him? The funny thing is his personality is the way that he looks. And I feel bad to say that, but he looks like he would be very into himself. And like he said last night, he does love himself. So
yes,
it's very apparent that, you know, Chris, he feels a certain way and he's going to let you know about it. So I don't think his lying is, you know, going to come off that great.
Yeah. And he came back and then Angela went right to him and said, hey, look, everybody tried to vote for me last week. And he's like, see, this is what I'm talking about. We need to join up with that Malolo group. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that it might end up being foolish for Malolo to get rid of Chris. Mm-hmm. Because when they look over and they see, okay, last tribal council, Brendan voted out. Mm-hmm. I think that they might have to stop in their tracks a little bit and reevaluate and say, hold on a second, that we are dwindling. Mm-hmm. Our numbers are down. Do we want to end up taking out a Naviti who could potentially join our forces? Mm-hmm. Like if Chris and Angela came over, forget who do we like. That maybe, you know, you have Dominic and Wendell, maybe they might want to end up getting back together with their old tribe come the merge.
Yeah, true. I mean, that is also another possibility. But I think I wouldn't even be thinking about that. Mm-hmm. I think that in the game, one thing that you realize is that your immediate, what were they together? 5 days, maybe? Mm-hmm. Those relationships, they were great. I don't know if they were worth crying over. But they were, you know, you build relationships at the beginning. But I think that personalities is what it comes down to in the end. And I think that Laurel sees that her personalities with Wendell and Dominic seem to be meshing well. They think the same and they could come across, you know, they can come up with ideas together to, you know, further in their game where I don't know if I was sitting in Laurel's spot, if I would be thinking about, you know, the numbers in that way. But then again, you never know what the relationships that they formed.
I mean, in any way, is this like the situation that you ended up in last season where that you ended up sort of having a bond with Rourke and you had between Ryan and Chrissy looking at that like, hey, if we want to go against the healers, now she could be potentially another number for them. Mm-hmm. And if we get to a merge situation now, we could be further out of the numbers.
Well, and that's exactly what Ryan tried to tell me in order to vote out Rourke, you know, and not after he had already voted at Rourke. He never had said that before. He never had said that she was that big of a threat. Obviously, I knew that. But for me, I really relied on my social game. I knew that there was going to be cracks in the healers. I knew that I was going to be able to find a way into all of her numbers. But that was definitely one of the things that Chrissy had said, is that she's got all these people. And I said, I don't care. What, for me, it came down to personality and who I thought that could help further me in this game. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, so this is a great question to ask you because, you know, philosophically, you know, we have these tribal lines, but then there's also this discussion about, well, what about somebody that you enjoy spending time with that you feel like that you can work with?
Yeah.
So you end up in the situation, you end up on a tribe with Rourke. How were you looking at that specific question of, am I better off trying to work with somebody who I get along with better or somebody who I shared the original tribe with?
Yeah, I mean, I think that for me, it was easy because initially when you get there, there's 2-2 and there's, you know, Rourke and just numbers for me. It didn't even have anything to do with, I mean, and maybe if Rourke would have been horrible, then I would have been like, OK, no, you know, forget the numbers. Me and we'll go 2-2 with the heroes. But
so if Rourke would have been a horrible person, that could have completely helped you.
Yeah, it would have. Yeah, it would
thanks, Rourke.
It would help me, right? Why do you have to be so, you know, so smart? But no, I think that going into it, I definitely thought, you know, I wanted to get to the merge and I wanted to take the easiest way to get to the merge. And I knew that if we had three, we had two expendable people that could be voted out. And that was really all that it meant to me. I did discuss with Chrissy at times and JP at times, but they didn't even seem as flexible with wanting to work with me. And obviously I knew I didn't know in the background that there was the super idol. But just on the surface to me, 100 times over, I would always go with Rourke, and not even just because it's Rourke, but just because of that number, it made sense to get rid of the other two.
Yeah. And so we have in this, you know, unique instance with this Naviti group, you know, potential for people to start working across tribes for the first time in this game.
Yeah.
Which, you know, could end up forming a group which ends up taking over at the merge. Do you like that idea? For we saw Laurel and Donathan talking about it. It's unclear whether James is on board, whether Libby is on board in terms of doing that. But do you think that that's the way to approach the situation?
Yeah, I think so. I think that that's the best way for them to stay solid right now. And I think they've actually put themselves in a really great position and they didn't do anything. It was just because Chris and Dominic hated each other so much. So they imploded their own tribe. So I think that it's smart for now, at least.
So another thing with this group of Malolos that had been to the early tribal council, so they went to the first two tribal council. Yep. They seemed to have a leg up on Naviti going into that third tribal council. As somebody who went to a few tribal councils early on, do you feel like, is there an advantage in some way of being more prepared by going to those early tribal councils?
I definitely say the early ones. So 1 and 2, if you're there, it's usually, for the most part, you know who's going. It's, you know who's the outcast on the tribe, and it's kind of the easier votes. But I definitely, for me, I went to way too many. But for the Malolo that went to the beginning and the ones that are still going now, like Stephanie and Michael and Brendan, I think that obviously Brendan being voted out, they should be worried. With Stephanie and Jenna and Michael being on the outs and to continue to go, one of them, you know, it's not looking good. You know, and so I definitely think, though, for them, at least on Laurel's end, it's worked out, you know, to go to the beginning tribals, you know what to expect. And you've already built trust with these people. They've all voted together, except for James, obviously. So he may feel nervous because he knows that he's only there because he's a number. You know, they did cast votes his way. So it's definitely interesting. But I think looking back, I didn't mind going to those first ones.
Do you think that James is in on the plan to bring in Wendell and Dominic, or do you think that Laurel and Donathan did that without talking to him?
I think that Laurel and Donathan did it without, because when Morgan was voted out, James was the one who brought up Wendell's name. And so I could see that maybe he isn't as fond of them as Laurel and Donathan are. And I think that Laurel's doing really, really, really good job with kind of cradling Donathan at this point. I think that he's obviously got his own thoughts, but I think that she's really, I would say, manipulating where his focus is. And because even when she said, oh, who do you want to go with?
Yeah.
You know, and she said, well, I like Wendell. And he was like, oh, well, I like Wendell too. You know, so who knows if those are his own thoughts or if he's just, you know, a little bit persuasion in there.
Well, do you think that maybe there could be this sort of a survivor love triangle? And I don't mean in a romantic sort of way, but here's Laurel, who's in the middle, and she has two allies here in James and in Donathan, where James is saying, hey, let's make the move with our head. Because let's stick with our numbers of our group. Yeah. And Donathan is saying, no, we have to make the move of our heart. Let's stick with the people that we like the most.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Laurel is stuck in this tug of war.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, I don't know.
And as we learned last night, don't get into a tug of war with Laurel.
No, obviously not. She's a beast.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she was. She just dragged him to the pole. Definitely looked like a Michaela flashback. But yeah, I think that it can get interesting. But I really think that Laurel sees that she can probably manipulate Donathan a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And so sticking with him and going that route. And you would think, and it's probably going to happen, is that James just ends up folding in hopes that, you know, they all, you know, stick together and stay the four strong, at least.
Laurel is so interesting to me after last night as a player, because I feel like that she is starting to show, you know, some strategic chops in terms of, you know, talking with Dominic. But also she could be also an elite physical threat as well.
Yeah, she's pretty well rounded.
Challenges. And we don't always get both of these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if she's really setting herself up for a great spot right now. And it's great because the beginning, the first few episodes, I was like, oh, she seems boring, you know, just really boring. But then again, I'm like, well, I was really boring because you're just trying to lay low. Like she said, under the radar, you want to sit back and make sure that people aren't looking at you. You don't want to, you know, cause any waves. And that's what she did. And now she's in a place where she can actually, you know, build relationships that will help her move further, and showing that strength. People know that right now they do need Laurel around.
Yeah. But do you think that she is potentially setting herself up to be in a position where everybody can see both? Like if people were even like, remember when Michaela, who was really great at the in the physical challenges, that there was a moment where Jay, you know, saw her even take out like the she's strategic too now. All right, get rid of her.
I don't think so. I think that Laurel is going to come off as very personable. I think that she's going to be relatable to Dominic and Wendell and, you know, draw people in. I don't think that people are going to see that as a threat, which is interesting, even though, you know, from the outside, we all see it as a threat. I don't think she's going to be perceived that way until way later in the game.
Yeah, I think it's good to sort of keep a low profile because the more you stand out.
Yeah.
The more
she doesn't look like she would stand out. She doesn't look like she would be. I didn't know that until she said she was a D1 athlete. I didn't look that up on her.
Yeah, volleyball.
And she, I mean,
she was spiking on people last night.
They should be scared of her. Yeah. They should.
No, she was very good. So the person she was working with was Donathan. What do you think about Donathan?
Donathan, I like Donathan. I think at first I did not.
He was
just too much, you know, way, way too much. But now I have, you know, I think that he's starting to find his rhythm. He's starting to understand that, you know, that you've got to, you know, kind of calm down a little bit and understand that this game is a lot longer than just 2 days. Because I think when you get out there, you can kind of get, you know, riled up and it could be an all in adrenaline. And I think that he's starting to get into the swing of things and I'm enjoying him. I think that he's growing and he's, you know, putting himself in conversations and it's great.
Yeah, he's growing. He went to Ghost Island. He was able to unlock a chest underwater and make the make the balls come off.
I still don't understand why that was so hard to do.
See, it was a big deal. he pulled it off.
Yeah, he did. It was great. It was great, and it's fun to see that. You know, it brings joy to the viewer because it's like something that he said he never would be able to do. And
they made a mistake for Malone. They should have had Donathan shooting the baskets.
they should have
brought him in with nobody.
Honestly,
you know, they were falling behind, and once they brought him in, like, wait, here comes Donathan.
They should have seen
it's
that.
A miracle. Donathan did it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very, very exciting.
Yeah, he can't be underestimated now. He's getting that, you know, the momentum, and he's going to be on top next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's we'll have to watch out for him to be able to perform. Are you hoping for more swaps? Would you like to see them go to three tribes?
Oh, Three Tribes. No.
You don't like Three Tribes.
I hate Three Tribes.
Why?
Because I was on Three Tribes. No, I don't know.
Do you think they should have swapped to, if they started in Three Tribes, then swapped to Two Tribes?
I'm trying to think if they've done that before
to start at three and then swap to three.
Oh, I would have loved it because if I would have started at three, the whole time I was just trying to hide.
Yeah.
You know? So you can hide on a bigger tribe.
Yeah. I'm trying to, I know that the commenters are probably all yelling at me in terms of that, but no, I don't think that they did. I think all the other times they started with three, they swapped to two.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have loved to have swapped, like to go from three to three again. I just hated it. I was so upset. No. Mm-hmm. I would have loved it because I wanted to start on a two tribe. I wanted to start with two because that way you can create more relationships early. I felt like I knew from the get-go I was going to go out there and be myself completely. And to some people that can be threatening. And so I just wanted to hide. You know, I wanted to have, you know, there's always going to be more people that are more annoying or more people that are bigger threats if it's a bigger tribe.
Yeah, because you know what? In fairness to you, that you had some pretty extenuating circumstances in that you went to, what, four tribal councils in six rounds of play.
Yeah.
And you kind of feel like, okay, well, as long as I'm not the first or second person out of my group, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
And then you ended up going to two tribal councils in your original tribe.
Yep.
And then two tribal councils in the after the swap.
Yep.
In the swap tribe.
Yeah.
So that is a lot of tribal.
It was a lot. It was a lot of late nights, and I liked my early bedtimes, but no, it wasn't fun. Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
Yeah. And so, yeah, if they would have gone to the two tribes, then conceivably, you know, that there may have been, you know, other people in front of you.
Exactly.
And then you could have. So, yeah, this did not help you.
Yeah, no, because to be voted out by three people sucks. You know, I would have appreciated it so much more if I was voted out by six.
I mean, you're one of the few people that have gone to, you know, these tribal councils with four people before the merge. And you did it twice.
Yeah. Twice. And I'm like, you know, it's not fun to be voted out by that little because it's like, yeah, it's a big
game. There's not a lot of moves you can make.
No.
And especially I think that. In the pre-merge, I think it's fun to have a big group where you see these groups like, oh, like last night. OK, we have nine people at the tribal. There's a lot of different dominoes that can fall. Whereas, you know, in two people get together all of a sudden, even with six,
they got a majority.
It's very hard to maneuver around where you play in these bigger tribes of like 10 and nine that, you know. Who know? Like, you know, one person could fall.
Yeah, you could pull people from other sides, and
yeah, I think that's more exciting in the pre-merge as opposed to like let it come down to, you know, four when we get down to the end.
Yeah, and there's
nowadays when they get down to four, they make fire. They don't even have a vote, Allie. You would have been making a fire against JP.
Yeah. Against JP. Oh gosh, he just thinks and there's a fire.
Should they change the rules when they get down to four people pre-merge that people should make a fire?
Honestly, so it should be permanent. That's what you're saying.
At the pre-merge though.
Pre-merge. Yes. Yes, because at least I would have been able to go up against JP to make a fire. Mm-hmm. And at least I would have said, I'm voted out because of myself, not because there's only three of you.
Yeah. So when you ended on that vote where you ended up going home.
Yeah.
I spoke with Chrissy in the off season and she seemed to imply that maybe Ryan did throw that challenge. Did you feel that way?
Yes, I did.
You felt like he did? And he's, in fairness to Ryan, he has never said anything about this to my knowledge.
Uh-huh. It was very difficult to watch this challenge.
It happened to be a challenge that anybody, if they wanted to, you had to have complete teamwork.
Yes, complete teamwork.
Yes.
And
just to remind people, it was sort of like this spider web type balancing block thing where you have to spell the words where they've done this always in the post-merge, that challenge.
By yourself,
and then, but this one had, everybody had a rope. So anybody could, whether they were intentional or not, completely make all the blocks fall down.
Well, exactly. And so right away, we would realize we had messed up because the two outsides, one was JP and the other one was Ryan. They had to be your strongest people. And we had realized that starting because, of course, we didn't get to practice this. And so I had even asked Jeff, can we switch spots? And Jeff says no. And so it would have been a lot easier for me to kind of move around Ryan throwing it if he had been in my spot or Chrissy's spot. But him being on the end, he had all the control. Mm-hmm. And there were times where JP actually screamed at him because he had dropped it. And at the end, and I didn't think in that moment, obviously, because I still was praying to God that something would happen. But after that, I was like, I think he might have thrown that because mm-hmm. it was almost just.
Did you ever confront him? Did you ever ask him?
No, I never did. I have brought this up before. I'm sure he would answer me and he might even say no and lie. But, you know, I don't even know if I care to know because mm-hmm. what is it going to change now? Well,
would you prefer to know that they did throw the challenge to intentionally get you out? Or would you prefer to feel like, you know what, that it just wasn't in the cards?
No, I don't really care either way. I think, mm-hmm. I think Ryan knew, and I think it was honestly, if Ryan did throw it, it was smart because even though we apologized, quote unquote, I was coming for Ryan mm-hmm. and I was very
after the Rourke thing or from the whole time.
No, after the Rourke thing.
Okay, yeah.
And that was the thing is because I didn't know about the Super Idol. I did not understand. I did not understand anything why this made sense to him and why he couldn't have included me in it. Still to this day, I don't know why he couldn't have included me in it. But I just thought that it was a move that he could have made later in the game to get rid of me. But it's really interesting that he, you know, decided to do that. And if he did throw it, you know, maybe it makes me feel like I was a better player than I thought I was.
Yeah. So the whole Super Idol thing happened where he has a bond with Chrissy because mm-hmm. of the Super Idol. And, you know, he doesn't want to, hurt that relationship.
Yeah.
But what was the issue that he felt like that you were compromised in, that you had become so close with Rourke that you had flipped?
No, I don't think so. I think that he saw that I was close. The thing that came down to that was Ryan. I always said, Ryan, what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. I said, you know, we were always going back and forth with, you know, do we stick with Rourke or do we, you know, take our chances with the heroes? But because I didn't know anything else, I thought it was just, you know, making a decision. And he'd always say, well, what do you, you know, well, we can just go with Rourke. And it was never a question. That's why I was so shocked. I'm like, you know, why make this decision?
Yeah.
And it's a game for me. And I went in going, I mean, I think you just said you listened to, you know, with Josh Wiggler, that I had said in pregame, as long as it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
And if Ryan would have taken control of my game in that moment and said, Allie, this is what we're doing and this is what I think is best for our game, I'm going to say, okay,
mm-hmm.
that's fine with me as long as it's not me. You know, and so maybe, I mean, I don't think that I came across that way. I think I seemed like I was very open at all times. And so I think he just made that decision in the end that he thought it was going to be better for his game to go along with JP.
So in the original Hustlers tribe, mm-hmm. you know, that obviously we go on to see Ryan and Devin and Lauren all have deeper runs in the game. But obviously uh-huh. we didn't know a lot about them in the early stages of the game. How cohesive of a four was that group that voted out against mm-hmm. Simone and Patrick?
Yeah, I think that I kind of felt that I was in the middle between Ryan and Devin and Lauren. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I had created relationships with everyone for the most part. I felt like I was honestly closest with Devin, which they did not show.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I trusted him the most. I felt he was the more even killed. And so my shocking relationship was with Lauren, and Lauren didn't feel like she was relating well with anyone. She was very hardworking and wanted us always to be out and doing something and finding food or, you know, things like that. But I definitely think that we were pretty close. I think we came together with that Patrick vote and it kind of, you know, brought us all together. But I felt voting out Patrick, I felt like I was perfect. You know, I had great relationships with all of them. And I don't know how I didn't know to the extent of Ryan and Devin's relationship, but I don't know if they were even close with Lauren at all. I think they just liked Lauren and thought she was easier to work with than Patrick.
What surprised you about watching the rest of the season and watching those three that went on to the merge and mm-hmm. go pretty far into the game?
Yeah. You're saying like what surprised me in regards to
Lauren, Ryan, and Devin.
Yeah. I was happy. I was rooting for them 100% of the way. I mean, obviously me and Ryan had what happened, but I'm not bitter. I want them to still do well. I want them, you know, they're hustlers. We started together. But I definitely was rooting for Lauren the whole entire way. I wish that her game would have ended differently, obviously, as I think a lot of people do. But I was definitely excited, and I knew Devin was smart. And I knew that he had a lot to him. And I think that he could have won the game. You know,
people say about Devin that in talking with the jury members, they didn't know how well Devin was playing from being out there, that he didn't show them the things that he showed the audience. Mm-hmm. Did you have suspicions about Devin? He was a better player than maybe was if you to the casual eye.
Yes, I did. I didn't know to the extent. I didn't know that he was, you know, to make that move against Dr. Mike, that, you know, I would have never have guessed for him to pull something like that. But I did know at the beginning that that's the reason why I trusted him so much. He was smart. He understood the game and he understood people socially. But I did see that towards us, and whenever we were in front of Jeff or whenever somebody was asked a question, he was always very short. He didn't ever sound very smart. He didn't put himself off as, you know, smarter than he was.
Was he intentionally downplaying, or does he go into a different gear when he's doing a confessional than he might where he's at some sort of a tribal council setting?
I think it's definitely a different gear. I think that he probably thinks better when he's alone and by himself, rather than being in the moment and being in the spotlight. So I definitely think that it just played to his advantage, his own, you know, where he was comfortable and where he was around people or whether he wasn't. And it just worked for him.
Yeah. Cause I do think that it's interesting in terms of like a gear, and not everybody has it, but I do think that there is a little bit of, I don't know the right way to describe it, but other than sort of like being like sort of like teacher's pet at tribal council, where you want to sort of like speak up and talk about the game in a certain way. Not everybody has that, but I'm trying to remember back, and I do remember that one point where Devin described what it was like out there in terms of like a way that he felt like he was feeling like a zombie.
Yeah.
And Jeff Probst was like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. So it seemed like he did relate, you know, in terms of like talking about himself, but he didn't seem to like he was, you know, really describing the game at Tribal. He seemed guarded about that at Tribal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think anytime he spoke out loud, he was very guarded. He didn't ever want to give too much. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's not even on purpose. It was just, you know, how he is. And so, and it definitely played well for him. And yeah.
If you had a vote at that final Tribal Council with Ben and Chrissy and Ryan, who would you have voted for?
Who would I have voted for? I would have voted for Ben based off of the play.
Yes.
Purely off of the play. I think if it were Chrissy.
Which part?
What do you mean?
Which part of his game?
Oh, just him being on the outs and then finding his way back in and then finding 17 idols and playing them accurately. He was just hard not to like. I think that that's what it was. And then even, the fire thing, a lot of people didn't agree with, but I still think that I liked it because, like you said, with the four votes, if you're just on the out, you're screwed, you know, just because you're on the out. And I think that, maybe I only liked it because it made Ben go into the finals. I don't know.
Yes.
But either way, even if Devin had gone into the finals, I still think that I probably would have voted Devin, even though I think Chrissy played an amazing game. And I think that she gets unfortunate because she is a woman playing the game that she played.
What do you feel that you feel like that people didn't give her her due?
I think that she being a woman, it's hard to play the game like Chrissy plays it because people look at her immediately as the villain when in a sense she was just playing a game. If I would have done the same exact things as Chrissy, me being younger, I don't know if people would have thought that I would have been a villain, villain like they saw Chrissy. And I think that she also
the viewers or the people on the jury?
The people on the jury.
Okay.
And I think even some viewers, I think people see her as a villain, and I don't think that she was. I think that she just played the game with her whole entire heart, and that mm-hmm. included, you know, everything. But I do think that she should have been given more credit in the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think they wanted to make it seem, the showmate wanted to make it seem, but it wasn't going to be close.
Mm-hmm.
Just based off of how the jury had already perceived her.
Yes. Did you know when you found out that it was going to be that final three,
mm-hmm.
did you know immediately that Ben was going to be the winner?
No, I did not. Because I was out, you know, earlier, mm-hmm. I had no idea what had happened in the game. I was happy with the final three. You know, I was happy that they had made it far. I was happy that two people that voted me out were in the final three. Like, you always want to lose to the winner. Obviously, I didn't lose to the winner. But I thought it was a good final three. I had no idea. Nobody was sharing anything. Obviously, you don't want any spoilers, but nobody was sharing. And I was kind of hoping it was Ben based off of what I had heard about how he had finished off playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know. I still think that Chrissy wasn't given the credit that she was supposed to be given, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that it's hard because I think that they had very even games. But it's just, I guess they would say socially, but I don't even know if Ben was all that great socially, you know? But yeah, so I mean, I was happy with the winner. I'm still very happy with the winner. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I want to play you a question from one of our listeners of the podcast. This is from one of our listeners, Ethan, who has a question.
Hey, Rob and Allie, this is Ethan. Shouldn't Michael have put a target on his own back and then at tribal council played the idol for himself? We call that a Jomena.
Okay. That's from one of our listeners, Ethan Zahalski, who has left us that feedback message. Yes. Dr. Mike, in the time that we are doing this podcast, has texted my phone five times set that question earlier today, which we'll address. He also texted me to say, tell Allie I say hi. Then he sent me, this is an animated GIF of my face on a dog's body humping somebody's leg.
Oh my God.
And says, whose leg is this? Can you tell I'm bored?
Oh, gotta love Dr. Mike.
And then here's another animated GIF. Apparently, Dr. Mike is on Jib Jab. And here's a GIF of me making it rain.
Oh my gosh. He obviously has no clients today.
Yeah, I think Thursday is a light day for him. But just to go back to Ethan's question, which is an interesting one.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if this is Dr. Mike's question or if Ethan thought of this, but in terms of pulling a Jomena, could Michael have pissed everybody off? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's possible for Michael to piss everybody off. They're like, oh, Michael, you're so likable.
I don't know if that would work.
But could he have gotten the target on his own back and play the idol?
I think that they would have caught on. I think that they would have. I mean, I don't think Kellen's a sucker. I think that she would have said, okay, this is obvious. He mm-hmm. has the idol. Because they didn't really think that anybody had it, but if you're drawing attention to yourself, you've got to feel pretty confident that you're going to be safe. And so I'm not sure in that situation if that would have worked.
Yeah. To me, in modern day Survivor, I feel like the more somebody is like fronting, the more somebody is saying like, hey, look at this. Look at what I'm doing.
Well, exactly. That's even to go back with the Dominic thing. I didn't understand making a fake idol when you actually had a real idol. Like, why don't you just show the I don't know. I didn't understand that.
I just think if you have a real idol, you keep it in your pocket until the point that you need to use it.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to trick people into doing something that's against their best interest, you get into the stuff that they were talking about at the tribal council last night of like, hey, so everybody, just so you know, I've got this idol here and we're going to use it and it's going to do this and it's going to has all these powers and you'll see,
mm-hmm.
you'll see. Just wait. You just wait. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear it. Like I'm putting it on my neck. I'm not going to play it tonight. I'm just saying, you know, or the same thing that when Jacob came home from Ghost Island. Uh-huh. Okay, all right, everybody gather around. Look, I wasn't going to say anything, but I guess I'll show you guys.
Yeah,
this is so you know, this is the idol. And it's if the more people are showing you something, the less likely I would believe it.
Yeah. And, I mean, maybe, it's kind of like saying, look over here so you don't see this over here. It's right. Like,
and, you know, if I ever play again and then I go down as like the dumbest player in history when somebody is like saying, like, here you go, Rob, here's the idol. I'm like, yeah, right. And I, you know, throw it into the ocean.
Fire.
Yeah. Like, OK, you know. Tell me when you got a bridge in Brooklyn you want to sell me, okay? I'm like, what are you doing? But to me, I just feel like that it doesn't happen often. No, the more they're showing you, the less believable it is.
Well, exactly. That's why even for Dominic to continue to be showing, you know, his new idol, you know, and then Laura was like, oh, so you were lying. You know, you don't want to get yourself caught up too soon and you want people to trust you, but they don't always have to trust you through showing idols. Why do people think that? If I ever found an idol, I'm not sure I would show anyone because it's there to benefit me. I don't want it to be there so somebody thinks it can benefit them.
Well, that was sort of what Ben did very well in your season, where there was a lot of like sharing of, hey, I've got this advantage. Don't say anything to anybody. I'm going to show you. I'm not going to tell anybody else. And there was a lot of like telling people about it.
Yeah.
And then he was the one person that he was for the most part. Now, Dr. Mike, I don't think he told anybody he had the idol. Yeah. He found it with Jessica, but then he didn't tell anybody about it. But then he didn't play it the right way, with all due respect. But then, you know, everybody else is, you know, bragging. I got this.
Yeah. 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 I don't get it. I think that it doesn't really work ever. So just keep it to yourself. Don't tell anyone and use it for yourself.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, look, there are times I don't want to get like the commenters all worked up. God bless them.
There are times. Yes. There are times.
Yes. There are times. And you can build trust with people and sort of like take somebody aside and show them the real idol. We've certainly seen that in the history of Survivor, but especially at Tribal Council, the more somebody is waving an idol around, a tribal, waving an advantage around a Tribal Council, the less I feel like that they're going to use it.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I mean, unless they're in a Ben situation where they have to use it because they will be going home. I agree. I think that if they're waving it around, you should think something else is up.
Well, should you, as a person who's at that Tribal Council, should you take a page from Devin's book and say, like, hey, you, Michael, if you're going to play that tonight, why don't you play it now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to because I don't know who you're going to vote for. Then you'll change the vote.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's what I think that was smart in regards to that. And I mean, it's just tribal is just so crazy that in that moment, it's so hard to decipher exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm. But at least that Ben was able to, you know, show, hey, I'm not messing around here. I'm not bluffing.
Yeah.
Whereas Michael was bluffing to some degree about the powers of the idol, but not necessarily that the idol was real. This was something Dawn Ross had tweeted this out earlier today, and I'd love to get your take on it. And let me see if I can get the exact wording that Dalton Ross used. Dalton Ross made a suggestion to the producers of Survivor. This is Dalton Ross on Twitter earlier this morning. This was from his lengthy recap that he that he writes. He suggests to the Survivor producers, while we're on the subject of idol notes, I'd like to have a bit of a sidebar discussion, if I may. That's because I have yet another unsolicited Dalton Ross show suggestion. Trademark. Here it is. Survivor should get rid of the note that comes with the idols. Not get rid of them completely, because players need to read the instructions on what their idol or advantage does and how and when to play it, but they should be instructed to get rid of the note after reading it. Bury it, burn it, put it out to sea. Easiest of all, hand it off to a producer or a cameraman. And basically, he's saying that starting in season 37, they should be told before the season, notes will no longer be kept after reading. What do you think of that?
I think I agree. I think it puts it. The note became a part of the game without ever wanting to be a part of the game. Mm-hmm. For him to say, hey, where's the note to that item? You know, I do agree, because that was never meant to be. The idol is supposed to be two pieces. And for Brendan to say, where's the note? You shouldn't have to worry about that. You should have to just worry about the idol. And I mean, I agree with that completely.
Okay. Now, I think that there are a lot of questions that come after that. Okay. So we get rid of the idol note.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every single idol in the game potentially could be real, could be fake. Yep. But now also we get into a lot of questions of, oh, my idol protects three people. And so, do we want that kind of liar's poker at every single tribal council?
So you're saying without the note, they can say whatever the idol does.
Right. So basically, every Dominic, Tony, whoever that mm-hmm. comes out there, now they get an advantage. And oh, this isn't just an idol. Mm-hmm. I'm immune at this tribal council. And I also get half the money if you win. So you have to vote with me. Like, wait, what? Yep. Sorry. Like, is there a note? I had to throw it away.
I mean,
Does that get too convoluted?
I think that hopefully you're smart enough not to believe that lie. Mm-hmm. If you get fooled by something like that, then you weren't supposed to win anyway.
Okay. What about going back to Survivor Game Changers, okay. where we had a situation where here's Ceri. Mm-hmm. She's ready to pull off a big move that Sarah has given her the vote steal to hold. Uh-huh. Ceri says, I have it in my hand. I'm going to use it. And she stands up to use it. And then there's a note that says, actually, this was non-transferable. Now, is this better or worse where we have, okay, now there is no note and now we have no way of now we have a debate of whether it's transferable or not. Yeah. And there's no note. Or is this sort of like the idea of like flat tax where it's just sort of like, okay, let's just get it down to this is just this. And we're taking away any sort of like all of the riders and fine print that mm-hmm. you need on the note. Now, are we just taking them all off the table? There's no way to litigate one of these sort of like questions.
Or it's just the information's given before the game. You mm-hmm. say, you know, if you have a clue, that clue is yours and you can't give it away.
Or you can give it to somebody.
Or you can only give it away if you're, you know, publicly or whether it's to a producer, say, hey, I'm giving this note or this idol to that person or I don't know. I think there's a way to go around it because I didn't like that fact that Ceri couldn't use it even though it was in her possession. That didn't make sense. But
I think I'm probably like there are still some issues I think that would need to be resolved. But I think that it has gotten to the point where survivors are a little bit and I think that I'm partially to blame for this of sort of like, you know, in talking about all these things over the years and talking about ideas and saying like, well, if somebody has a fake idol, but there's no note, then you know.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
Know. Now and it's sort of, I'm sure lots of different bloggers and podcast people have talked about this idea. But yeah, I think it's a little too ticky tack of like, where's your note? If there's no note, then I don't believe you.
Because
where's the note for that thing?
Exactly.
Where's the instructions?
Exactly. Well, exactly. Because idols aren't easy to come by. So if you have to lie and make one, you should at least be given that shot to convince somebody. So where somebody has to double think about it. But now that there's no, it's automatically not an idol.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So interesting to think about that.
Oh, yeah.
So we know you went to college with Patrick Bolton.
Yes, we know that.
how did you end up at Auburn? You're from here, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm from Eastvale, California now. Yes. And so it's in Inland Empire. I grew up.
Is your family still there?
Yes, they're still in Eastvale, California. I grew up there and I graduated high school at Roosevelt High School. And I was recruited to play soccer. Mm-hmm. And so I was recruited everywhere. But my sister went to the University of Florida. And so I love the SEC. And so that's how I ended up at Auburn, because I knew that I wanted to go out and away to school. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know exactly where. And so I knew I could always come home. So I wanted to get out and go somewhere else. And I ended up coming home after school. But yeah, I had a great experience at Auburn.
OK. And then from there, that's when you went to Hollywood?
Yes. So from there, I moved to North Hollywood and I got a job at Access Hollywood.
OK.
Yeah.
Yes. And then from there, you ended up going into being an assistant.
Yes. So I was a talent assistant there for Sean Robinson. That was one of the hosts of the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what is your ultimate goal? Where do you want to be?
Yeah. Well, I still love sports a lot. So I want to get back into sports and sports broadcasting, or because I love to talk. My major's in radio, TV and film. I love to talk.
No, you have a really good voice for I've noticed this from the beginning.
Oh, thank you.
Strong voice for podcasting. You know,
thanks.
You're very aware where the microphone is. This is very nerdy stuff. But no, I can tell.
Yeah, I love to talk. That's the thing. I just could go on and on.
And what's
days.
Your favorite sport?
My favorite sport to watch, probably football.
Okay.
Yeah, I love
college football.
I love college and I love NFL.
Who's your team in the NFL?
I don't want to talk about it.
You don't want to talk about it? Why?
No, we've actually picked up some good people. I'm a Bears fan.
Bears, okay.
Yeah, my parents are from Chicago, so I'm Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks, White Sox. So just born and raised through it. But yeah, I like the Bears. I like football. I would love to either get in. I would prefer anchoring. I don't want to be broadcasting on the field. I would rather be in a studio somewhere. Mm-hmm. That would be fun. I love to talk analytics and, you know, tactics and sports.
I had no idea about this.
Yeah. So that would be like the end all be all goal for me. So, okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. Now, this is something that was interesting to me that in your first one out, you talked with Josh about how when you were a young girl that you had a survivor themed birthday party.
Yes, I did.
And in this survivor themed birthday party, that there were two tribes, purple and orange, and we've come full circle.
I posted a picture too on Instagram, and I'm in purple and other people in orange. And
you were Naviti.
Look, yep. They definitely, Survivor stole it
for whatever reason, Survivor has done it. When they do orange, they do purple.
Yeah.
It seems like
it's a weird mix.
Orange and purple. They put those two together.
Yeah. It's the two non-rhyming words. That's probably why.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
They don't rhyme. I feel like they probably like three or four different seasons. I feel like they've matched up orange and purple versus each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that was your birthday party.
Yeah, birthday party. Yeah, I'm very competitive. So, you know, from a young age, I was always trying to be that, you know, sole survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing that I was really touched by that in your talking with Josh, you talked about how you had an uncle who got deep into the casting process, mm-hmm. who very sadly passed away at a young age.
Yep.
And then, but then you ended up going on the show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So even in my whole, you know, process trying to get on the show, my uncle, I think he had tried out twice. He had tried out Boston Rob's season, and I think
which one?
The very first one.
Yeah.
The very, very first one. And so he had made it as an alternate. And then he made it as an alternate the second time. So he didn't make it the first time. The second time he made it as an alternate. He was just a really fun, goofy guy, but I think that he kind of threw off casting because throughout finals week, he started only shaving half of his face. And so I think that was a bit much. They were like, all right, this guy's a little bit cuckoo, but he was just always fun and free spirited. But that was always a dream of his. So when I, you know, even when my family, my mom's one of 11. And so he was her older brother. And so when my whole family found out about it, they were just overjoyed and they couldn't believe that finally one of us was able to experience this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, you know, really nice that, that you got to get there.
Yeah.
I got a lot of questions for you from the listeners. Okay. Let me just take a moment and thank one of our sponsors. And those are friends over at canvaspeople.com. You know, you got a great photo from a birthday party with orange tribes.
I actually used Canvas for my sister's.
Canvas people?
Yep, I sure did. My sister's, her bridal shower.
Wow.
Yep.
Canvaspeople.com. They've got a great offer for the listeners of Rob's podcast. Get an 11x14 canvas photo for free. And you just pay the shipping. It's $69.99 value. Just pay the shipping with promo code RHAP at canvaspeople.com. See that photo of the garbage lady making a sculpture right there? That's a Canvas People right there.
She's going through it right now, though.
That's Jada. Yeah, Jada is going through a tough time.
Yeah, she is.
But canvaspeople.com, that so many people have used it and love it, that they are a fantastic service. Just go there, upload your photo, that you can turn your photos, that you post them on Instagram, and then what? You forget about them with that algorithm. Who can find anything? Put these photos on your wall instead. They know you're going to love it. That's why they've got this great offer. Just go ahead and go to canvaspeople.com. Get your own 11x14 canvas photo. Just upload the photo, select the 11x14 size, and then use the promo code RHAP. This is a limited time offer for our listeners. Go to canvaspeople.com today and use promo code RHAP to get your free photo. Just pay the shipping. Okay. So let me bring you some of these questions from the listeners. And Shana Carroll wants to know, who are you rooting for this season?
From last episode, I think it changes. I think I'm either rooting... I really like Laurel. I think that she's come My view of her has definitely changed, but I definitely like her and I feel like I can relate a lot with her.
Mm-hmm.
She's playing the game that I wish I could have played.
Did that change from the preseason? Was there somebody that you thought coming in that you were going to really like?
I do like Wendell, and I think that I liked him in the preseason. So I still like him, but I think Laurel's beating him right now.
Okay. So far, so good.
Yep.
Okay. Andrew wants to know, do you have any fun stories from the pre-jury trip? What was the best part? So this was a wacky crew that you're with. Okay. Uh-huh. So it's Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
Simone, who was we just had here the other day,
mm-hmm.
And then Patrick, your friend,
yes, my friend,
and then Alan,
yep,
and then Rourke and you and Jessica.
Yeah, no, we had a great group. Me and Rourke were actually roommates, and we had the nice big room. And the funny thing is that me and
Rourke, where were you people?
Where were we?
Yeah,
we were in Brisbane, Australia.
Okay,
yeah, so we were. Oh no, not yeah, Brisbane.
And you
Australia.
Stayed in one place.
We stayed in one place. We took a trip down to Byron Bay for a weekend. But other than that, we were in Brisbane, the city. And it was great. It was fun. It was a beautiful city. I love Australia. But me and Rourke actually shared a king size bed the whole time we were there, which was fun because I love Rourke. But no, I would say we got along great. We were a good crew. Mm-hmm. I loved every time we would go out. Katrina's dancing was just by far better than everybody else's. You would never think that this lady could dance the way that she dances. I had a great time. I think that even though it was a good group to be with, because even though you're obviously being voted out from, you know, this great show, we still had such a great experience together and made the most of it.
It's very dependent on the group that you're with.
Oh, yeah, completely.
Because you could get a bunch of people that are all like super negative. Mm-hmm. Everybody's pissed. Everybody didn't go the way they wanted.
Well, and Patrick was pretty pissed at me.
Yeah. So he was mad at you.
He was mad at me. And for me, I'm a person that understands that once it's over, it's over. I can't do anything about it. I can't change it. So it was very laughable to me. He, when I was voted out, was so very angry. And me laughing just made him more angry.
So you laughed at him after
of course, Patrick is like my brother. He's like my little brother that you've got to take care of, and him being mad is just a joke to me.
All right, good. This is a question that we got from the listeners. This is from Caitlin, who wants to say, my winning hot take was that Patrick didn't know he met Allie in college. Since this isn't true, can you once and for all explain what your actual college relationship was like? Like, did you guys hang out or did he literally just help your friend move?
Okay, so Patrick, the first time I met Patrick was actually, we lived in the same apartment complex. Right. And so I was moving in, my parents were helping me move in, and he was walking in the street, I think with a girl. And my mom said, oh, do you have a friend that could help us move this mattress upstairs? Because we're not doing it. And so he went and got his brother and came and moved my mattress upstairs. This was before he had a moving company.
Mm-hmm.
And so Patrick was actually good friends with one of my ex-boyfriend in college. And so he was always very loud, very, you know, in everybody's face. I'm pretty sure I saw him pierce someone's ear with a blow dart.
With a blow dart, like from very far away?
No,
like
just up close. Just up close in your face.
And somebody was like, Patrick Bolton, you seem like the kind of guy that would be perfect to pierce my body. You should.
Exactly. I should check on that person more.
Here's an implement.
It was probably his brother. Him and his brother are the exact same people. They're, you know, you honestly, to be completely honest, I always thought they were on drugs. But that's just
so did most of the Survivor viewers.
But that's just the way he is. That's just his personality. And so seeing his face having to play a strategic competitive game was not the face that I wanted to see.
So you're here. It's been, you know, this dream of yours to get the Survivor, and now here you are.
Yep.
And out of all the gin joints in the world, Why did it have to be you?
Exactly.
You crazy person that I knew from college.
Well, and I love him because he's a very kind person, and he's got a great heart. But take your heart somewhere else. Not on the Hustler Tribe. Not in my Survivor game.
Right. He's not even just on this season with you. He's in this group of six.
Well, at least I could watch him. And at least, you know, I feel like his fate was in my hands for the most part. But yeah, it was definitely not the hand that I was wanting to be dealt.
Now, is it true that Patrick then came to the finale and got every single person associated with Survivor sick?
Yes, that is true. Completely true. I was sick for maybe 3.5 weeks. We took the bus ride over. I, of course, sat next to Patrick. Sick for 3 weeks plus after that. And
what did you have?
I had a cold and a cough and a fever. So I had a fever for a week and a cough for like 6 weeks.
Yes. Okay. Because yes. I also then everybody here then got very sick after the Survivor finale. And again, I don't know if it was like, I don't know if Patrick Bolton, it was patient zero.
It was probably payback.
Yes. Is that what it was? This was like some sort of like biological warfare. Yes. That he came in.
Exactly.
And got everybody affiliated with Survivor. That's, this was his revenge on everybody.
The only way it would make sense.
The podcasters, the players, production.
Yep.
Yeah. No, everybody. We were all sick over Christmas.
Yep. And it started with him. He even had to get a steroid shot before the actual finale because he was so sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just took out everybody. Yep. Any fun stories from the finale? I know it's sort of a crazy night where there's not a lot of you guys aren't really interacted with very much, but we do have on video. You guys were there.
Yeah, we were there. We were there. That's about the gist of it. We were there. We were a nice, pretty background for the stage. No, I think that it was fun. It was a great day. Yeah. I loved seeing Lauren again. I hadn't seen Lauren since we swapped pretty much because I didn't get to see her much. But I love seeing Lauren and, you know, just catching up with people's families and understanding that, you know, we all come from different aspects of life, but coming together for, you know, one enjoyment and one experience, it was just fun. Yeah. It was a great experience. I can't really hit the nail. I mean, no, I think it was just, yeah, all of it was enjoying except for being on that actual stage, right?
Yeah, Survivor is weird because it's like, okay, it's like high school where it's like, okay, you were with these people 24/7 for a period of time. Then you go your separate ways.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, then you like have like a 10-year reunion.
Pretty much.
And it's like for one night you're back with all of them and then I'll never see any of you guys the rest of my life.
Pretty much. You know? That's exactly how it was. So you're meeting kids and parents and, you know, significant others. And it's like, oh, great. Nice to see you. Great to catch up. And then, you know, where are they now?
Right. Now you just see them like on Facebook.
Media. Yeah.
So it's interesting. Okay. This is a good question from Mike Brett wants to know which beach had the most dirt sand ratio. Okay, can you weigh in on the debate of the Malolo versus Naviti beaches? So do you know which beach was Hustler Beach? Was that one of the ones that's been on the show?
Obviously, Hustler was Malolo. Obviously.
Yes. So you lived on the
I lived the beach, Malolo.
The beach that Bradley has said is the worst beach.
Well, yeah.
That was your home.
Yes.
Would you say that you agree with Bradley's review?
I just want to be back in a Naviti. Well, it's you guys have like dirt. Oh. Sand everywhere. It feels dirty.
Was it dirty?
It was very dirty. But the thing is, for the Malolos that are there, to hear him complaining, that's all they ever knew. So that's all they know is Malolo.
Right.
So for me being at Hustler Beach, I was like, oh, this is fine. But once I got to Soco Beach, which is Naviti Beach, I was like, oh, wow. This is gorgeous. I am on a tropical island, you know, so I definitely can agree with him, but you should just not put it out there because for them, that's all they know. Okay.
What about the Heroes Beach?
I never was at the Heroes Beach.
But no, I'm saying, but is that nice? Like if they have three potential beaches.
Yes. Yeah, so
and they have two tribes. Why put one tribe at the beach that's not great?
Because every week. The Ghost Island Beach, you want that beach to be beautiful. So
Ghost Island is where the heroes were?
Yes. Ghost Island is where the heroes were. And so you, like
the inside scoop.
You want that beach to be, they're always there. You get the, you know, the views and the different camera angles. You want it to be the pretty beach. And so you couldn't have a Ghost Island at Hustler Beach. It wouldn't have looked, who would have wanted to go there? Yes. It would have been even worse than it already is.
Okay. Felipe has a question about how you had to make a difficult decision to cut Patrick early on and readjust. since it would have been easier for one of the Malolos or Naviti to flip at this last tribal, as there was no real world connection that we know of. Is that what you would recommend? Would you say for one of the players that were there to potentially flip to go to the other group, or you would have stayed strong with your group?
For last time, I think that if I was like a Jenna, I probably would have flipped. Mm-hmm. I would, because
why Jenna?
Because I think Jenna, she's got these relationships, but I think that as we can see in this next coming episode, she's got that relationship with Sebastian, and who knows if it's just warming up. It has to have already been a little bit there already. And so I think that she could have read that from, you know, this last episode and really flipped and said, hey, I'll be your six. That way you guys can make sure I push further.
Could you have ever seen yourself being involved in a showmance on the island, or is that something that you would never want to do on Survivor?
I could never imagine. There would have to be a Greek god on the island for me.
That's probably what everybody says.
No, but I mean, Devin was very good looking, and I was like, you know, it's a game, you know?
Yes.
It's definitely a game, and I'm out there, and I can hold my, you know, if I like him, maybe after 39 days, we can go on a date, but not.
I bet that's what Jessica said.
You know, I don't know if Jessica realized. I don't know if she realized that, you know, she had fallen into that, you know.
Felipe also wanted to know, why did you wear boots in the water in episode 2? This is a question that's specifically asked for Liana Boris. Did you wear boots in the ocean?
I wore my white Converse.
Yes.
My white leather Converse. I did wear them in the ocean because, as you saw, Husser Beach sucks. Mm. As, you know, Bradley says, it's not the nicest. It's got dirt.
It's dirty.
It's got rocks and it's got glass. So the reason they were my water shoes.
Oh, okay.
So I would take a bath and I would wear my shoes because I didn't want to cut my feet and I didn't want to either get bit by any unknown objects out there.
Yes. Okay. So you could get medevaced, or you could get bit by a crab like Patrick. Exactly. He warned you about the crabs.
Exactly. Or stingray. I'm like, I'm too afraid of the ocean, and this ocean, I don't know. So.
Yes. A lot of people were writing about your jacket. People were very impressed with your jacket. You get a lot of compliments on that. Mm-hmm. Your red jacket.
My bomber jacket. Yep.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Still have
Why
it.
Did you choose that? I think that a lot of these survivors also have said to me, like, hey, how come they get jackets?
Well,
how come some survivors have a jacket? I would have liked a jacket.
I mean, but honestly, we submit everything we want to wear. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking for something that, I mean, I wear a bomber jacket every day. I think I have a bomber jacket in pink, in green, in brown, in black. So I love my bomber jacket.
What you're saying is try to convince Survivor that your signature look is something warm.
Exactly. Because I did submit a flannel, but there have been way too many flannels.
Yeah. Yes.
So mine was, this is different. It hasn't really been done. And it's also stylish and it's very me. So, and it's also warm.
So I would say then somebody should make their video in like a parka and say like, hey, this is Eskimo Joe. This is like, oh, we've never had an Eskimo on the show before. Let's get to Eskimo Joe in here.
Well, and then that's when they make a cold season. So there goes Eskimo Joe to Alaska.
No. Eskimo Joe is like, hey, I'm Eskimo Joe. What am I doing out here? This is no igloo. What am I doing out here on a tropic? I'm like a penguin that's stranded in the middle of nowhere. That's how Sebastian got on the show, maybe.
Probably.
He was the original Eskimo Joe.
They just made him ditch the jacket. That's probably it.
Yeah, it's awfully hot out here for a penguin. Okay. Also, Marcus O'Neill, you clearly had the best hair on your season. Who has this season's best hair?
Season's best hair. I've got to go with Des. I mean, she's
Desiree.
She's got that shaved, the blonde. She's rocking it.
That's good.
And it's easy for the weather. You don't have to put it in a pony. You don't have to worry about knots or water. Yeah.
It stands out.
Yeah.
It's good to have like a signature look.
Yeah.
Okay. Keith Nails Tuck Tuck on Twitter wrote in to say, do you think Malolo should throw the next challenge to get rid of Michael or Stephanie? What do you think of this idea? Okay. So we were talking about last week about Naviti throwing a challenge. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we talked about throwing challenges earlier. Mm-hmm. I think I know how you feel about throwing challenges.
Yeah.
But do you think that Malolo, now that they knew Malolo, now that they have this even bigger advantage, and they know that the old Malolo people are not working with them, should they, and the idol has been played also on top of that, do you think that this is the right time for them to throw a challenge?
I think I would say yes. I don't really like the idea of throwing challenges, but that's a part of the game. You've got to be thinking all ends. And if you just saw Morgan go home, you know that they're probably gunning for another one of your people the next time. So you have the easy votes. You've got expendables on your side. I wouldn't go against it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting in terms of what they should do. Because I think you always want to look at the other, because in terms of your season, mm-hmm. where the healers really screwed up was they had Ben and they had Lauren.
Yep.
And they could have and they could have saved Rourke.
Yeah.
They could have said, oh, look at Rourke. Rourke
I've
is
said this yeah, 100 times.
She's a swing. Maybe she's a swing vote, but maybe she's going to get voted out.
Yeah.
But we can vote out. And Dr. Mike from the beginning of the game said, Ben is the biggest threat out there.
Yep.
He's number one.
You sound just like him.
I work on it. It's I hear his voice on my phone 24 hours a day. But, you know, in terms of so if you are the Navidi group, but then if you're looking over there and Morgan just got voted out, mm-hmm. then it's a potential 4-4 split.
Yep.
If you're thinking about it that way. Right. So, yeah, I think that they would be very incentivized to throw the challenge.
Yeah, I think that it would be smart. I mean, I said that a million times. I wish a healer over there would have thought, hey, let's save some of our other people. Especially, you know, they didn't know what was going on in the other camps. And so they thought they should have said, let's save other people. We have the easy votes. We mm-hmm. trust each other. We're going to go and we're going to vote off one of these other ones that are just, you know, expendable.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on that going into next week's show. Ryan Ulrich on Twitter said, who was your favorite hustler and why was it Ryan?
Yeah. I think Ryan, I don't know if Ryan was ever my favorite hustler.
Ever.
He was an enjoyable.
Even before
all of this. No.
Yes.
I think surprisingly, I mean, like I said, me and Devin were really close and I did have this.
But he was your second favorite.
No, I really liked Lauren. Okay. That's the reason why I wanted to keep Lauren around was because.
So he was your third favorite.
He was my third favorite, of course. That's why he was there other than...
Okay, you know, more than Patrick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Still to this day, more than Patrick.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. Maybe not.
Maybe not. So he might not even be the third favorite.
I think that Patrick would agree with that, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So he maybe at one point was the third favorite, and then he screwed it up.
Oh, yeah. He was the third favorite for sure.
Okay. All right. And now at this point, you know, Simone's fun too.
Oh, Simone's great. Me and Simone, we have a great relationship. She's so fun. She's so sweet.
So he might be the fourth favorite hustler.
Well, I mean, it depends what day I see Patrick. So he can move up and down in there.
Yes, but easily top five.
Yeah.
Okay. In the top. That's pretty good. That's pretty
top
good.
Five, yeah.
That's pretty good. But what is your relationship like with Ryan?
Oh, we have a great relationship.
I think Ryan is very fun, and I hope that one day he comes on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. No, he will, of course. No.
That is my hope that one day.
He will. He definitely will.
We'll see.
He's great. We have a great relationship. I mean, I think we have the same exact relationship we had out there. That's why we got along so well. We were like brother and sister. We joked and we laughed, and he's just fun to be around. And I think that's why we connected, because I didn't think that I would ever, you know, we don't look like we would come from an area where we would get along. And mm-hmm. we talk all the time, and we're actually in, there's a couple of us in a March Madness bracket.
Yes. Yes. Cole Metters asked, ask her why Auburn sucks so much and why they'll never beat Clemson and why I'm going to win our March Madness bracket.
Yes. So it is Cole, Ben, Ryan, Patrick, Rourke, Desi, and Jessica. And we have this March Madness going on, and we have this group chat that is absolutely bizarre and mm-hmm. just off the wall. But it's fun. It's fun.
Do you know a lot about college basketball?
I do not.
Yeah.
So
I don't either.
Auburn always sucked, and this year they're actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. So I should have paid more attention. But when I picked my bracket, I really was just like, what name do I like better?
Okay. Let me ask you a football question for Ryan. Should the New York Giants draft a quarterback to replace Ryan's beloved Eli Manning?
I do think
month?
So.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. They need to kick Eli Manning to the curb.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's time.
Do you have a preference for who the Giants should take?
Do I have a preference? No, because I don't care about the Giants.
Okay.
Nope.
All right.
Not at all.
Mitch Trubisky still the best quarterback.
Yep. He is my favorite, and I know that he's going to come out on top. I know we just picked up another quarterback, but I am all true to Trubisky. So
all true. Okay. That sounds good. here's a question. This is from Matt Eichel and something that we haven't really talked about. So Kellen went to Ghost Island.
Okay.
And so she decided not to play the game. She said, you know what? I'm good. I'll pass.
Mm-hmm.
And so Matt asked, do you think there should be a consequence for deciding not to play the game on Ghost Island? Either you wager your vote against winning or advance, or you keep your vote and maybe the next person on Ghost Island gets the object for free. Like, should there be some sort of a penalty for you got sent to Ghost Island? Mm-hmm. You know, it's supposed to be some sort of a punishment. Do you like the idea of forcing them into playing the game?
I think that the consequence should be you never get to play Ghost Island again.
Okay. All right. So you can walk away.
Yep.
But now you're done.
Yep.
You're done. Next time you come to Ghost Island, now you can't play. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think that, I mean, even with her decision, I don't know if I could ever be that person to say I'm not playing, because mm-hmm. in that moment, she was thinking completely about her group of people. And she's comfortable, which is great, but you're not always going to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And so for me, there's no chance that I'm not playing that game.
And look, I think she did the right thing for how things ultimately went, but yeah. I'm not watching Survivor Ghost Island to watch people not play games.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I could never go there and not play. I just couldn't. Whether I was on top or not, I just had to play.
Sorry, too rich for my blood. Oh. Kellen, come on, we need some action,
right? Ghost Island was boring.
Yeah. I'll hold, thank you. All right, Kieran wants to know, speaking of Ryan, does Bradley remind you of Ryan? Kieran on Twitter.
No, Bradley does not remind me of Ryan. Ryan is probably, he was more fun. And
Bradley more fun?
No, Bradley's not more fun. Ryan's more fun.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I think that Bradley is, he's more mean with his humor. He's definitely very smart. And so maybe it's just like the good devil or like the bad devil and like the good angel. So they're very much the same, but Ryan was more good and Bradley's kind of more bad.
But Ryan, I feel like, is wearing the devil's outfit. The very tight red turtleneck.
Yeah, that's much deceiving. More... it was deceiving. I should have realized by the red
backwards.
Turtleneck that he could not be trusted.
Yeah. this is John wants to know, did you know about the idol that Ryan had passed Chrissy? No, right?
Of course not.
Not until you watched
slightly.
The show. Was that when you watched the show then, did everything click a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, I had heard about it once I was, you know, once the show was over, I had heard that I wasn't voted out primarily because of just picking sides. And so it kind of made me feel a little bit better that, you know, I wasn't voted out just because Ryan decided to go. So it wasn't something that I did directly. It was more of, you know, he had found an advantage and he took that advantage and used it, you know, in a way that wasn't in a benefit to me. So.
Okay. Marcus writes in to say, Brendan's arc played out very similar to yours. You were both leaders in your original tribes. After the first swap got on the wrong side of the numbers and then were unexpected early boots, what, if anything, could he have done differently to keep the target off himself? If anything.
Nothing. I think that sometimes you just get put into a situation that you can't really get out of.
Okay.
I think that also what didn't help is the way he looks. He looks strong and smart, and you know, he was going to go out there and look like a threat either way, whether he wanted to be or not. So I'm not sure that there was really much he could have done to get out of that situation.
Let me pitch you on something.
Okay.
We're going to call this the reverse Joe Mena.
Okay.
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 Could, much like Ethan Zahalski talked about how, like, could Michael have put a target on his back
mm-hmm.
and gotten people to vote for him because he has the idol. And you said, no, everybody would see through that.
Mm-hmm.
Could Brendan, with no idol, gone out there and said, like, hey, you a-holes,
mm-hmm.
Hey, Bradley, you look fat today. and how would you like, you know, I heard that Navidi Beach really sucks.
Yeah.
And then get everybody really worked up.
Mm-hmm.
And then people are like, well, I really hate that Bradley. I bet he's got an idol. I bet he's trying to make us vote for him. And then they would never vote for Brendan.
I mean, he could have. At that point, you've got to try whatever you can.
The reverse Joe Meta. We just invented something.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that would have been.
And people are like, I really hate Brenna. Let's take him to the final three.
At least to get people thinking. And that's all you got to do is just
try. That's where you went wrong, where you were like, you did everything so well when you got down to that final. You said, look, no, I'm not even mad about the Rourke thing. You guys, look, I respect what you had to do. I'm with you guys. You should have just been like telling them off the whole time. Like, she's probably got an idol. She's probably trying to get us to vote for her.
I know. I mean, I had thought about so many things about lying. I mean, I first of all looked for that idol for hours.
Right.
But I had thought about lying and saying that I had an idol. But I'm like, what am I going to show? You know, there was so many things. I'm like,
it was in that moment.
Exactly. No idol. I didn't even have beads. Mm-hmm. No, I think that it's in that moment. And looking back, everybody's like, oh, I should have done this. I should have done that. I should have done this. But in that moment, you don't know what you should do. You have no idea what they're thinking. You don't know if what you're doing is working or if it's not working. You know, I thought that me being cool, maybe they would let me slide. But obviously, they were right to not trust me because I was not to be trusted. You mm-hmm. know, so you just never know in that moment.
If you got to the merge, then you would have won.
If I got to the merge, I would have won.
Yeah. How are you making a fire?
How am I making a fire? I definitely practiced before, so I knew I was confident in my.
How's your spelling? Fire. You know what letters go right side up?
I know what letters go right side up. I know which way they. I think I would have had a pretty good chance as long as people didn't. As long as I was in that first boot. If I could get past that first one into the merge, I feel like I would have had a good chance.
Okay. Randy Newpole wants to know. Should the cinnamon challenge be an immunity challenge?
Yeah.
Can you explain the cinnamon challenge?
Yeah, the cinnamon challenge is when you take a spoon, mm-hmm. a teaspoon.
Is this dangerous? Should we have to have a warning?
It's definitely dangerous.
Ethan Zahalski, turn off the podcast.
You take a spoonful of cinnamon and you try and pretty much swallow it.
Mm-hmm.
I tried this in college. And it
sounds like something Patrick Bolton put you up
to. You would think, but I'm not sure he was there. No, he was not there. But I did it before going out, which was a bad idea.
Yeah.
And so what happens is it builds up in your throat.
Oh, no.
And the whole night it feels like I had sand in my throat. So it's fire, sand.
Is that what happened to Bradley?
Probably.
He just probably want to be back in a video. It's you guys
different.
Have like dirt.
Sand. Cinnamon.
Cinnamon,
spicy.
Yes, he definitely. It's definitely no. I don't think. I think it would be too many people would definitely struggle with that.
Wait,
it would
so not what? Be, so what happens? So you? I thought it's like you like that when you know the gum Big Red. I'm not talking about Patrick Bolton.
Yeah.
Like if you like lick it and then you put the wrapper on your forehead, like you're supposed to, like you can't do that for
burns.
Like 30 days. It'll burn you.
Yeah.
But that's not like the cinnamon challenge.
No, the
right?
cinnamon challenge sucks. Don't do it.
So you eat the cinnamon and then what? It just you feel like you want to throw up then after that.
So you feel like you want to throw up and you try to swallow it, but it's just so entirely dry that it just. You could honestly die afterwards.
Yes.
I was thinking, this is not safe.
Don't do this.
Don't do it.
Is that what happened to Beast Mode Cowboy?
That's probably.
That's why he has to get Medivac.
Yeah.
That he was playing for. So I think that's what they were playing for, like spices.
Yeah.
And what you didn't see right before that challenge was that Jeff said, all right, we got spices. We got salt. We got pepper. Yeah. We got cinnamon. Who wants to try the cinnamon right before the challenge?
Honestly,
Beast Mode Cowboy's like, pick me.
He just wanted to eat anything.
Yeah.
So that was it.
Yeah, heard that. Okay. And then he ate the cinnamon and that's what happened.
Yep, passed out immediately.
So they felt very bad. So people should not do.
Don't do it.
The cinnamon challenge.
Don't even try it.
Don't even think about that.
Mm-mm.
Okay. This was another question for you. Allie, Faith Moreno on Twitter said, what was the most WTF moment from either on the island or on finale night? Do you have a WTF moment that you look back on?
On the island. I have a very TMI moment.
Okay. Who does it involve?
It's me.
Okay.
If I would have known. So it was the pizza challenge.
Yes.
I don't know why. I knew that I wasn't supposed to eat all of that food. And I was sitting there and I immediately had to go to the restroom.
Yes.
And let's just say I did not make it.
Didn't make it. Oh, my God. What was with that hero that Simone was here the other day telling these stories?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, what was going on the, is that, so Bradley, the beach is cursed.
Yes. Yeah. It really is cursed. No, this actually was at Soco Beach. So this is the nice beach. Okay. So the other day I was watching
it. Not as nice anymore.
Not as nice. And I was like, they're bathing in my bathroom. So, you know how that goes. No, but, I would say at the finale, I was really shocked that we were just there. I think that everybody agrees with that WTF moment. Like,
you were shocked where? That you were on stage, yeah, on a TV show?
Yeah, well, that I was on stage at a TV show, but I could have had a stand. Like, they should have brought in the dream team and just had the dream team.
Is there proof
there
that you guys were there? That it wasn't the dream team? Because I watched a video on a YouTube channel that it just got taken down, that they said that it wasn't actually the Survivor 35
That's
cast.
Something you'll never know. They swapped in Lauren for Lauren's one question that was only about season 36, and then they swapped her out. Mm-hmm. So.
I heard it was a hologram of Dr. Mike.
I believe it.
Yes, you know? that's some inside conspiracy talk. Okay. Let me see. What else? What else? What else have you been waiting to tell the world about besides you ate too much pizza?
Yeah, I ate too much pizza.
You're going to go on to get into sports broadcasting. So what are you doing to work on this sports broadcasting?
Yeah, so I'm actually starting on, this has nothing to do with sports, but I was about to start, or I'm in the process of starting, a YouTube page.
Yes.
And it is about a show, it's going to be about a show, and it's, right now it's boring, so I'm, that's
it's going to be about a show?
Or it's going to be,
like how this is about Survivor?
Well, no, it's not going to be about a show. It's going to be a show about what really matters, and that's what the show is going to be called, What Really Matters. Okay.
So how are you going to, what is that going to look like?
Right now, I have topics every week, and I'm going to talk about things that really matter in this world. And I think that we've got so distracted.
Like Celebrity Big Brother.
To some people, that's what really matters. That's why you're on those topics.
Yes.
For me, it's more about, you know, love, or whether it's about happiness, or whether it's about family, or whether it's about self-love or self-respect. Okay.
So you're talking about topics that are, but that are more broad than sort of like specific things in the news.
Yeah, but I still want to, in those topics, I want to find people out there that are expressing those things in
a
good way.
Is it an interview show? Or are you talking
eventually,
to people?
Eventually, okay. Yes. Eventually, yes. So I'm in the works, obviously, as you can tell, I'm still figuring it out. Mm-hmm. Because the first few episodes that I filmed are rather boring. I don't even want to watch myself talk. So mm-hmm. I've got to find ways to make it more interesting. But I do want to.
What
bring...
do they look like? Like in terms of like you sat down with somebody?
Not yet. So okay. It's just me right now, pretty much putting out what I find is
you're vlogging.
Exactly.
Yes.
What really matters to me and what I think should matter to other people, because I think we've kind of lost sight in this world with all that goes on mm-hmm. of what really matters.
Well, if there's anything that I can do to help you with what you're doing, you know, I'm happy to, you know, use me as a resource.
Thank you.
If I don't know what I'm talking about, then, you know, feel free to not use me as a resource. No pressure.
No, I'm trying to figure it out. So I know the concept that I want, and there's all these ways I can go with it. But I just know that I want to put something out there that is a little bit more serious of me, but definitely something that people can find light in, I guess.
Yes. Now, was this a byproduct of that you worked with Glozell, who had a big, has a big YouTube uh-huh. following? Do you feel like that you have learned the do's and don'ts of the YouTube world?
I don't know if I've learned it, because I think that what she does and what I want to do are completely different.
You're not going to do the cinnamon challenge?
I'm not going to do any challenges.
Yes.
No, but I think that it's just kind of figuring out
the pizza challenge.
I might do the pizza challenge.
Yeah, I would stay away.
I'm just kidding. My body's telling me no.
Touch the hot stove on that.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So I'm just trying to figure it out. And I think that I've learned a lot from her that I can take into, you know, starting this. But like I said before, I love to talk. So I'm mm-hmm. like, I might as well start somewhere and see how I can grow from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Where do people go to follow you? Because I feel like you talked a lot with Josh about that you were very into social media, but I feel like that you sort of have a low profile now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I don't want to bore people. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to put anything out there that's just a picture every day of nothing. You know, I don't really have much going on in my everyday life, and I don't want to go out there and make it seem like I do.
Right.
So
if I don't have something important to say, it's not important just to be out there and saying nothing. Too many people are out there saying nonsense.
Exactly. And I post enough selfies. What am I going to do? Just post selfies all day.
Right. where does this come from, that the idea of talking about something that matters? Why is that important to you?
Yeah, I think it's been instilled with me. So I'm a very religious person. I'm a Christian, mm-hmm. and I was born and raised in church. And I like to think about things, I guess, on a deeper level. And I think that sometimes in our lives, we get so caught up with things that don't matter, like mm-hmm. social media. Even though we love social media and we use social media and I'm a part of it, we can get so caught up in it. And it's used not for the good. And it can be used, and people look at it and start to think poorly of themselves and poorly of their lives because they don't have the things that other people have. And just it stems from this wide view that I've had recently of this world that we live in and how I want to make sure people understand that there's so much more that matters to it than all these things that we now view as important.
Yeah. So social media has made us too superficial.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that it affects us a lot mentally and emotionally. We don't even realize it. And so that's just one aspect as to, you know, all these things that we, you know, kind of weighs on us in our lives. So, yeah, I just want to kind of be a platform that people can go to and be like, okay, you know, there is still good going on. And I want to find those people out there that are doing the good, that are making a difference, whether it's just something on their corner or something that's, you know, a charity that's worldwide. I think that a lot of people can focus on the good and not the bad.
Because you get a lot out of it too.
Oh,
for doing these. It's like, I don't want to go do that thing. But then doing good for others, you get something out of
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And that's never why we want to do something, but it is. I mean, you feel great when you can help somebody. You feel great when you can, you know, put a smile on somebody's face or be a helping hand. And so I just want to put it out there, and maybe it'll help better this world one step at a time, because I think that it's just so easy to get caught up in it.
Mm-hmm. And then when we saw last week on the show mm-hmm. that Morgan and Libby had a bond and they said, look, we have the same faith. Mm-hmm. Us Catholic girls need to stick together. Mm-hmm. But then Libby did not stick. Did that make you angry with Libby?
No, it's a game.
It's a game.
It's a game. Completely a game. I can't fault her for any of that because she was doing what best interested her. I don't think that they made a Catholic bond or some blood sister, you know,
you don't know.
Yeah. The scenes, it's probably going to come out. Yes. But I don't fault her for that at all.
Was there anybody from that you thought that you would make a bond with over faith when you played Survivor?
Is there anybody? No. I didn't really. I talked a lot about my faith, and I think a lot of people listened.
Mm-hmm.
I prayed over us.
Like,
you know,
when you went through casting,
yeah.
Were you looking at people? If somebody wore a cross, did you look at them and say, like, oh, is that somebody that I could work with? Or somebody had some sort of, like, had a tattoo of a cross or something mm-hmm. like that?
No, definitely not. I know how I am socially. I can mm-hmm. relate to all types of people, and it doesn't matter if, you know, we have the same religion or not, or you have any religion. But I just felt that that was one thing that I was proud of. And if you didn't have that, it didn't matter to me. You are still a person and we are still in this together. And whether we can relate or not on another level, that's great. You know, so I was never looking primarily for that. But I definitely did share it a lot with people, and I felt like I wanted to be out there to be a helping hand if it got hard for people as well.
Okay. All right. So be on the lookout for, does it have a name?
Not yet. So nothing's been released. Nothing's been done. I am honestly, I'm trying not to be a perfectionist with this. I want to just put something out there.
Yeah,
and,
because, yeah, that's very important that good is the enemy of great.
Yeah. Yes.
Or is it the other way around? It's one of those things. But it's hard. But also, because now that you're and I see a lot of people struggle with this of, you know, when you don't have a following, mm-hmm. when you don't have any attention, it's very easy to start and be terrible.
Yeah.
And a lot of people come to me with advice about how, you know, I want to start a podcast.
Yeah.
And I tell people, well, just do it
and
then be terrible and you'll get better.
Yeah.
But it's a difficult position for somebody who is now gone on Survivor, and mm-hmm. people are, you know, you're in the eye of the people that follow the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you do something that's terrible, then people say, oh, look at this, this is terrible. So it's hard. It's hard to start something now and not have it be perfect, because that there will the people. I'm not trying to spook
no,
you.
No, no, not
but
at
that's,
all.
This that's is what that's something that people wrestle with.
Yeah.
That if it's if you launch and it's not what you want it to be, mm-hmm. it's harder to do something new now.
Exactly, and it's harder to backtrack. So that's the part that I'm in right now is I'm trying to kind of find what take I want to go with. And so definitely I'm trying to lay back on being perfect and just put it out there and hope that people understand and people will actually even care, because right now I'm like, I don't care with what I'm watching. So we've got to go back and edit some more.
Okay. All right. So that on Twitter, if people want to, follow you,
yeah,
that you're Allie from Cali.
Yes, I'm Allie from underscore Cali on everything.
Underscore, the underscore.
Yeah,
is tricky.
I didn't get the Allie from Cali.
It's too good of a name. That's what I'm saying.
And I tried to go back, but every time I check, someone still has it. So if you guys can kick the Allie from Cali off the Allie from Cali and give it to me.
All right. Well, don't tell people to like swarm. Like dox
no,
people.
Go and do it. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't do it. I think you want to spread good in the world.
I do. But
poor
Allie
from Cali with no underscore. Your arch enemy.
I know. Poor girl. She doesn't even know it.
She has no idea. Okay. So Allie from underscore Cali.
That's
on
me.
Instagram and on Twitter.
And on Twitter.
And there you go. And then what else is going on? So you're waiting for March Madness so you can win the money. Is there money between everybody?
There's money. I don't even know how much money. I hope it's not a lot because I agreed to this, but I'm not sure how much we agreed to put in. But there is money. I want to say I'm hoping it's $10 a person, but I don't know if that's right. Mm-hmm. But yes, I would love to win the money. I am the only one who picked Xavier to win. Okay. So
I have no idea if that's a good pick or a bad pick.
They're number one seed. Okay. I went with my gut. Everybody else
pulling for you.
Villanova. So I'm hoping that everybody else is wrong so I don't have to split the money.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then what's the hashtag for today's show? So you know a lot about social media. What should the hashtag be?
Oh, got gosh.
Some nominees of hashtag reverse Joe Mena.
Okay.
I don't want him to listen and then think we're trying to reverse him because we don't want to make him mad.
You would love that.
Hashtag Eskimo Joe.
Okay.
Is another person, a new Survivor character that's coming.
Okay.
Okay. Hashtag F Allie from Cali, no underscore. Hashtag Cinnamon Challenge. Hashtag Pizza Challenge.
Oh,
what do you like?
Gosh. Oh, if I said hashtag
fifth favorite hustler.
Hashtag F Allie from Cali.
Yes.
No, people are gonna be like, what the heck happened?
To poor Allie from Cali.
Oh gosh. What's my favorite? I like fifth favorite hustler.
Okay. All right. Yes. Let's poor at Allie from Cali. She's from LA and Vancouver. She seems like a nice person.
Nope. She's evil.
She's wishing happy birthday to a 12-year-old. So she seems
nope.
nice.
No. Nope.
She says
she's
for all
evil.
Things food, wine, and art. She's doing good stuff.
Nope.
I'm gonna have her on the podcast next week.
Next week on
the voicemail, the real Allie from Cali.
Oh God.
Brent, write in all your questions about food, wine, and art in Vancouver. Yeah. 12-year-old. Actually, the 12-year-old birthday party that she went to was a Survivor themed birthday party.
No.
Yeah. It's purple and orange stripes. It's very nice.
Oh,
very nice.
Oh my gosh.
Very nice.
No, I'm gonna find that Allie from Cali.
I'm gonna follow her. Allie from Cali.
LA and Vancouver. I'm gonna find her.
All right, Allie, thank you so much for coming. This was fantastic. We have a feedback show coming up over the weekend. I will be speaking with Tyler Fredrickson.
Sweet.
So send your voicemail questions in. Talk to him on Saturday. So robswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. And then also you can email the show survivor@robswebsite.com for that. And then so nice to have you here in the studio.
Yeah, it's been fun. Maybe I'm gonna change mine to Allie has a website. Just kidding.
You could do that.
Just kidding. I'm gonna find Allie from Cali and just threaten her.
Okay. Kidding.
Don't
be a bully on social media.
What really matters, not just my social media.
That's right.
But it's very important.
Well, you said, I think that social media is making people not happy. And then you're talking about how you're going to go out there and then go after the person that has the name you
want.
You need to be the first person on this show.
Brought up this anger on me. I didn't even know I had this.
I used to be a bad person. I used to say that I wanted the hashtag.
that out.
The username of the and now I realize that that was wrong.
Yep.
I can live with an under, even though Rob says that the Twitter handles with underscores are bad. I have to live with it.
You know, maybe I'm just going to, I don't know.
Here's the thing. So come up with a new name for your show and then change your Twitter handle to what the name of your new show is.
Okay.
So you're going to solve two problems.
Okay. And it's just Twitter's bad. Just Twitter's bad.
Oh, well, Instagram.
Do I have to change Instagram too?
I don't know from Instagram. That was how I had to reach out to you on the Instagram, but I don't really know Instagram too well. I have nothing good to take a picture of.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. And with Twitter, I'm like, I don't really have much to say. Mm-hmm. If you can't hear me, then it's not funny.
Once the YouTube channel is up.
I'll have a lot to say. And everybody can comment below. Just nice things.
Nice thing. Allie
from Cali is not welcome there. She's going to say negative things.
Yes. She's nice. Look at her picture. Have you ever looked at her?
I think I have her on my dartboard.
Like, yeah.
She's Alexandra. Okay.
Yeah. She's nice.
Stanley. All right.
She seems nice.
I'm going to find her.
Yes. Okay.
and have coffee.
Yes. Her last tweet was in 2014. So that 12-year-old is actually a 15-year-old.
Oh gosh, you're following no content.
Yes, but I'm following. I'm waiting for the next tweet. Once she hears this podcast, once she's on the voicemails next week, she's going to be back with the vengeance.
Okay. She's there.
All right. Allie, thank you so much. Of course. Wiggle Room coming up on Monday as well. So very excited that we're going to talk about how this all went. And mm-hmm. I'm going to put up a video that's going to be up on our Patreon page. Go to robswebsite.com/patron to check that out. And we'll have that up in a couple of days. And thanks so much for listening. Take care, everybody.
Of course.
How are you doing? Bye.